I've counted it a privilege to be in the presence of so many saints and to be surrounded by some seasoned preachers, and also to be reunited with some of my like peers in the 30-year-old bracket of preachers. And so I've been so thankful to be with Preston and with Barry and with Jason. I'm so thankful Barry had a safe trip last night or yesterday afternoon. I'm so glad to be in his presence. He's one of my favorite people. And I'm so thankful to have this opportunity this morning. I noticed some of those signs in the cafeteria are some of the list of things to do and not to do. And I guess this is normally a cafeteria. And I noticed some of them were appropriate for our occasion and some of them probably are not. One of them that might have to do, actually two of them that might have to do with the sermon at hand, one of them says, no sharing food. Well, hopefully the bread of life that we break today, you will share it with those around you and those that you come in contact with in coming days, weeks, and months, and years. And then also it said, no food outside the cafeteria. But I beg you to please take those things that you have heard and learned in the last few days and in the rest of today and tomorrow and share those things with those especially who have not yet been exposed to the gospel. And hopefully we'll all learn to be better pleasing to our Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, that is something that many times we may have said as we said the words of the model prayer, and maybe we said them because we remembered those words and we've had them memorized, but maybe we haven't stopped long enough to really think about what these things can teach us. It's apparent that Christ sought to teach his disciples how to pray and thus gave his disciples then and gave his disciples now and those who will come in the future an example and a model for how to pray. And a part of this example expresses the need to pray for our daily necessities, our daily bread. Matthew Henry said, because our natural being is necessary to our spiritual well-being in this world, therefore after the things of God's glory, kingdom, and will, we pray for the necessary supports and comforts in this present life, which are the gifts of God and must be asked of Him. I think that that's a well-stated sentiment. And though only 7 words in length in the English King James Version of the Bible and 8 in the original Greek, this short phrase teaches us an immense amount of information about the giving nature of God and our dependence upon God's giving nature. Let us notice a few of those this morning. First of all, we are reliant upon God. When we read the words of this passage, give us this day our daily bread, or Luke's account, Luke 11:3, give us day by day our daily bread. The word God is not mentioned there, but it's understood. Really, Christ is saying, Father, give us this day our daily bread. The Father is directly addressed only in the opening passages of this model prayer. All other references are pronouns or are simply understood. So we can put the name of the Father there in the beginning of this passage. Father, give us this day our daily bread. And in so saying, it shows our reliance upon Him. Father, we know that if we're going to receive these things, then these things come from You. The Father is clearly the only recipient of the request of these prayers made by Christ. This request shows man's dependence upon the Father for even the very basics and necessities of life. We are told in Matthew chapter 6 not to take thought of our clothing, of our raiment, and of our food, because those things will be provided for us. And so we are dependent upon God. When we think about the Israelite nation as they left the bonds of Egypt and began to venture into the wilderness, we see that they are reliant upon God. And it wasn't long and they began to cry and to complain about their lack of food, about their lack of daily necessities being met. And some of them even began to want to go back to Egypt and enjoy some of the dainties that they had back in Egypt. But we see that God provided for them their daily necessities. He gave them their daily manna in Exodus 16, their daily what is it? manna means, what is it? They walked out and they saw that manna and they said, what is it? Well, it was their daily bread. And God provided that to them and or for them until they finally crossed the River Jordan some 41 years later and entered into the promised land. And then the food was provided for them of the land of promise. It is the Lord that sustains us. Psalm chapter 1, the beginning words of the psalm, says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the scornful, nor sitteth in the seat. Let me say that again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And let's see what happens as a result of meditating in the law of the Lord day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's by the rivers of water, he's sustained, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The individual that seeks the law of the Lord is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now in the south, where it rains in abundance, everything seems green. You can hardly see 50 feet because of all the greenery, all the underbrush. But as you begin to head west, where the rain is less, where do you see trees? Where do you see people setting up homes? By the rivers. That's where the trees grow, because there they have their sustenance. That's where they can have depth of root and grow and flourish and bring forth fruit. And that's the case in Kansas and Arkansas and Oklahoma and many places in this area. And hopefully we will be like those trees planted by the rivers of water, and we will drink up that which the Lord has provided for us. Psalm 23 in the first three verses also show us that it is the Lord that sustains us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why shall I not want? Because the Lord is going to provide for me. What does he do? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in the green pastures. That's where we have our sustenance. We are there by the still waters. We have our souls restored because the Lord gives us. He sustains us. He's like a shepherd who provides us with the things that we need. There are very few sheep that do without and starve if they have a good shepherd. Well, we know that our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the best of all shepherds. And he's going to make sure that we have those green pastures that will sustain us and give us all that we need. As a newborn infant is reliant upon its mother to provide his nourishment and cries to receive such, so is the saint dependent upon God to give us our daily bread. And thus we cry to him in prayer to receive that. Every time I hear a newborn child cry, I know that that child has some need that needs to be met. Either it needs food, or either it needs changing, or either it needs some tender loving care. Well, as Christians, as children of God, we ought to cry to him in prayer when we are hungry, when we need to be cleansed, and when we need that tender loving care that can only be provided by the Father. And if we are reliant upon God for our daily provisions, are we not so much the more reliant upon him for our spiritual necessities to be met? But not only are we reliant upon God, we must realize that it is God who is a giving God. Father, give us this day our daily bread. God gives good gifts. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, James 1:17. In Matthew 7:11, he says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? God gave the Israelites their daily manna. He also gives us our daily bread. And beyond that, he gives us his word daily. When I think of Christ going into the wilderness and fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he did without food. Though he would later teach his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount how to pray this prayer, to ask for their daily bread, he had previously gone without that daily bread for 40 days and 40 nights. But what is interesting about this context of his temptations, though he had done without physical bread for 40 days and 40 nights, he was still filled with the bread of life. He said, "Blessed are those which hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they shall be filled." And we see that when the devil comes to him, the tempter comes to him, because though he was unhungered physically, he was overflowing with spiritual food. Because with each temptation, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written." He knew that God's word was what would sustain him spiritually. And we need to be reminded as well, though we may not have food in abundance, we always have spiritual food in abundance. And I think Christ demonstrates that for us in Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempted. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue." 2 Peter 1:3. That's something that God has promised us. That's something that the inspired writer Peter wrote. The giving God, the giving Father, has given us those things that pertain unto life and godliness. We're all familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. God has given his word. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished through and through into every good work. We need to realize that God is a giving God. And though he gives us our physical food that will sustain us physically, much more importantly, he gives us spiritual food that will sustain us spiritually and will provide those things unto life and godliness, and provide those things that will help us be perfect, ready for every good work. But beyond God being a giving God, and beyond us being reliant upon him and upon his givingness, we are the recipients of a God who gives good gifts. We've already read a passage that demonstrated for us that if we're going to give good gifts, even though sometimes we are evil, and we're going to give good gifts, surely our Heavenly Father is going to give good gifts beyond our wildest comprehension. In instructing the disciples how to pray, Christ taught them that for which they were to ask. It is apparent that they were to ask God to grant them the things of which they had need. They needed physical food to sustain them physically. "Give us this day our daily bread." Without that, they would probably become weakened, fatigued. When I go without food for an extended period of time, sometimes my body grows weary. My mind maybe doesn't function as properly as it should. So God will provide those things that we need. And Christ told us to ask God for such. It also shows us to rely on him through prayer. And the disciples learned in so doing to put their trust in God, the Father of heaven and earth. Christ shows us that for which we are to pray. He teaches us on numerous occasions a host of things that for which we are to pray. He teaches us that we are to pray for them which despitefully use us and persecute us, Matthew 5:44, also Luke 6:28. He teaches us that we are to pray, therefore, the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The Buckley congregation is hoping to grow and to flourish in this community. And a missionary myself in northwestern Colorado, we pray that the Lord will send forth workers, send forth laborers. We realize that there is much work to be done. And if you're the only laborer in a field that seems like it's ready, the fruit is ready to be picked. Or maybe it's not even ready to be picked. Maybe it just needs someone to go out and sow the seed. Well, we need to pray for laborers who can go and to sow that seed and to make sure that it gets watered. And therefore, we can also help bring forth the bounty of that harvest when the Lord adds to the church daily. We need to pray for peace and for those in authority, as we see in 1 Timothy 2:2. In this time in which we live, where things are sometimes uncertain and war has been undertaken, we need to be reminded to pray for those who are separated from their families, for their soldiers. My son, always when we pray, he did it this morning, I typically ask them what they would like to pray for. And my son always says, pray for the mean man. Speaking of Saddam Hussein, pray for that mean man and pray for the soldiers. And we do such. And we pray that through the efforts of our soldiers, that a democracy in that country will open up. And that the gospel can be carried into that country. And even Saddam himself will be exposed with the gospel. And maybe his heart would somehow be pricked, and that he could have access to eternal life through the gospel. And hopefully that will be the case. We are to pray in our afflictions, as James 5:13 teaches us. Is any among you sick? Let him pray. We need to pray in our afflictions. But also, we are to pray for one another. James 5:16 teaches us this. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Though God grants gifts to the just and the unjust, as we see in Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth forth rain on the just and on the unjust. We are to realize that his blessings are far more enjoyed by those who are his children, by those who are faithful Christians. As we referred to earlier in Matthew 6, especially verses 26 and 30. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? In praying for God to give us our daily bread, it will help teach us, as Matthew Henry says, charity and a compassionate concern for the poor and the needy. If we go to him in prayer and pray for our daily bread, and I doubt there are many in here who are doing without, I look into a crowd who is dressed appropriately. I see that most of us drove up in vehicles. We must realize that we are in the top 5 or less percent of monetary blessed people in the world. Very few of us are going to go home like old Mother Hubbard, who went to her cupboard and found that her cupboards were bare and couldn't even find her poor dog a bone. Most of us are not going to fall into that category. And it gets us to our next point. That God gives daily. We are relying upon God. God is a giving God, and God gives good gifts. But we need to be reminded that God gives daily. I think this is something that we need to really work on as Christians in this modern day. Because we are so blessed in this country that is so prosperous that we take things for granted. We don't realize that Christ was praying for their daily bread, because many times they did not have bread. When he sent out his disciples into the world, he didn't say, now make sure you take a month's worth of food with you, because you're going to be going in places where you're not going to have anything. He told them not to take purse or scrip, not to take extra garments. He told them to go light. Why did he teach them to do that? Why did he command them to do that? To teach them to be reliant upon God. And unfortunately, we have become so blessed monetarily that sometimes we forget to be reliant upon God daily. We lose sight of that. I live in Meeker, 2 hours from the nearest Walmart or Sam's Supercenter. And so when we drive down to Grand Junction, we stock up. We load our van full, a month's worth of groceries. Anybody could show up at my house at any time, and we would have ample food to feed. Probably everybody in this room could show up at our house, and my wife could probably gather up enough scraps so everybody could be fed. Something. You may be eating tuna and crackers, but you would have something to eat. You may eat a bowl of cereal, but it would be something to eat. And sometimes I think that we forget how much we are blessed, and therefore we don't realize that we should be reliant upon God daily. It would probably behoove us and do us good to clean our pantries out and to give it to those who have need, and then maybe we will better understand that we need to be reliant upon God daily. It would give us a better understanding of this passage. Christ said that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Well, he also many times went without food. He didn't carry a sack of food with him at all times. And even as we read the stories of the multitudes that were fed, the 5,000 and the 4,000, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And those would not have been provided had that young lad not have had brought food with him. That wasn't even enough food really to feed the disciples that were Christ, much less the thousands. So we can see through that context that they didn't have a lot of food with them. So then we can better understand why Christ said, pray for your daily bread. Ask the Lord for your daily bread. It shows our dependence upon Him. God sent the children of Israel daily manna. He didn't send it in a 1 week lump sum. Why not? Because He wanted them to realize that they were dependent upon Him every single day. Not once a month, not once a week, every day. Far removed from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient or needful, as the American Standard Version says. Convenient or needful for me. Proverbs 30:8. God does not want us to become consumed with thoughts over things over which we have no control. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Matthew 6:24. As was referred in the last hour, James 4:13-14. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. We don't need to be concerned about the food for tomorrow. We don't need to be concerned about the food for next week or next month. We need to be concerned about the provisions that will be provided for us today. And we need to give thanks to God for those. I'm thankful for those who have provided meals for the preachers this week. I'm thankful for that. And it has taken a burden off my mind. We brought an ice chest full of fruit and tuna fish and things like that that we could give the children in the motel room. But that was a burden lifted. That wasn't something that I was planning on, but Brother Camp said, don't worry about your meals, that's going to be provided for you. And in a sense, that was provided to me by God through Christians who were following His will. And I didn't have to take thought of that. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to eat tomorrow. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to eat an hour from now, because I know that God's going to provide that for me. And saints are going to provide that for me. God expects us to pray for our necessities with the intent that we will use our talents and our abilities and opportunities to allow God to bestow that on us. Christ didn't pray for His daily bread and then sit around and wait for it to fall from the sky. He did those things that would allow him to have those provisions met for him. He surrounded himself with Christians. He surrounded himself with those opportunities where he could have his needs met for him. We are not to pray for the bread of deceit, Proverbs 20:17, nor the bread of idleness, Proverbs 31:27. We are to ask for those things appropriate. God will not God will not spoon feed the lazy or the covetous. We are not to sit around and just wait for manna to fall from heaven as it did with the Israelites. Leo Bowles rightly said, when we pray for our daily bread, we are pledging ourselves to cooperate with God through all the laws that He has given for the production of bread. Well, bread doesn't just grow on a tree. What happens? You have to sow the seed. You have to make sure that the weeds are removed from that field so that it will grow properly and that it can flourish and receive the nutrients from the ground. You have to make sure that it reaches its fullness of ripeness, that you go out and cut it and harvest it. You have to separate the wheat from the chaff. Then you have to grind it. Then you have to cook it. There are some processes that take place when bread is made. I don't just walk into a house. Well, I usually do walk into a house and have food on the table. But I realize that food didn't just appear on the table. Typically, my wife spends a long time in preparation for that food. When we buy food, she usually washes all the fruit and peels the apples and the pears and cuts up the pineapple and has the fruit already in the refrigerator. All I have to do is go in there and just eat what I want. But I realize that has been prepared for me. There was work that took place. I realize that those things were paid for because I worked and labored so that I could receive money to pay for that food. God doesn't just give us those things if we're not going to allow ourselves to use the mechanisms in place that He has put there for us to do what we can. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 gives us a very clear estimation of this idea. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And I believe that. I have some problems with the welfare system. My grandmother is on the welfare system, and I'm glad. I don't mind my tax dollars going to feed those who have worked their life. My grandmother worked hard. She raised 11 children by herself on a waitress income. My wife gets aggravated at me sometimes because I'm a big tipper. Sometimes even if a waitress doesn't keep my water glass filled, I'll give her a big tip. Why? Because I think of my grandmother, who labored hard to raise children. I don't know that waitress or waiter's condition in life, but I like to give them a tip to make sure that they have their needs met and that they are maybe going home to provide for their children. But she didn't live on the welfare system when she was raising her children. But now she's in a position where she can't work. She can't provide for herself fully anymore. So I'm glad. But there are others who, they don't care to work. They don't want to work. They want somebody to give them a handout. Do you know that was one of the demises of the Roman government? They wanted their daily bread. They wanted it provided for them. They didn't want to work. They wanted to go and watch the gladiators kill one another or be gobbled up by the ferocious beast. And they wanted their food provided for them, but they didn't want to work for it. And if we're not careful in the society in which we live, we can gather that mentality as well. So we need to realize that we are reliant upon God, that God is a giving God, that God gives good gifts, and He gives those to us daily. We can also learn from this passage that God gives us that which is needful. Father, give us this day our daily bread. We've already talked about that a little bit, This word daily is only found twice in the New Testament scriptures, and it's only found once in secular writings. Some people used to say, well, you know, the Bible can't really be inspired because we don't have this word daily in any other secular writings. Well, then Pompeii was unearthed, a city that is famous because it teaches us so much about the people that lived in that day, because it was covered in lava and volcanic ash. And you know what they found? The grocery list of a woman. You know what it had on it? This word in the Greek, daily bread. Well, what was she saying? I need the provisions for today. When the cupboard at my house gets bare, my wife doesn't send me to the grocery store to buy Hershey's chocolate, even though she loves Hershey's chocolate. What does she send me to the grocery store to buy? Typically three things: milk, bread, and bananas. We live on that. That's our sustenance. If we get down to nothing else, we'll live off bread and milk and bananas. Well, daily bread. That's what this means. Bread sufficient for the day. The necessities. Matthew Henry also said, asking for bread teaches us sobriety and temperance. We ask for bread not for dainties nor superfluities. We're not to ask God to provide us with a filet mignon, not to provide us with a baked potato loaded. We are to ask for those things that will fulfill our necessities, those things that will sustain our basic necessities of life. A very profound word by J.W. McGarvey says, the petition is not for milk and honey, the symbols of luxury, but for bread, and bread sufficient for the day. We are to be moderate in our request for even necessary things. I think that's something that all of us as Christians could work on. We must so put our trust into God to provide us with the things necessary to always remain content. Paul is such a wonderful example of this. When he wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. How many times are we content? Oh, I've got French fries, but I've got no ketchup. I can't believe there's no ketchup. I've got a steak, but I've got no A1 sauce. Well, are we content? We've got a steak right there in front of us. Are we not content with that? We've got fries. Can we not be content with the fries? Do we have to have ketchup? We must realize that we need to be content. Paul also wrote in Philippians 1:11 that we need to learn the true lessons of contentment through God's sustainment of us. We see that he lived this in his very life. When he was on a ship, an old rickety ship, and they left the island of Fair Havens. You can read about this in Acts chapter 27. And they were sailing across the Mediterranean Sea right before they were shipwrecked on the island of Melita. They had fasted for 14 days. And he finally told them, let's eat something. We've been fasting for 14 days. An angel has warned me and told me of the things that are about to take place. Our lives will be spared. But let's eat something to give ourselves strength. And then they took meat. But what did Paul do before they ate? He prayed in the presence of all of them. And then after they ate, what did they do with the rest of the food? They threw it overboard. They didn't save it for later. They threw it overboard. Paul is such a wonderful example to us about being content. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he saith, I will never leave you, nor forsake thee. We must not become the ungrateful Israelites, who took the blessing of manna for granted and began to loathe it. They began to hate it. This bread, this manna that we've been eating day after day after day, what about the olives and all the good things that we ate back in Egypt? Can't we have something better to eat? They weren't satisfied with the quail and the manna. Let us never become like the Israelites, of which we read in Numbers 11, 4 through 6. Let us be reliant upon God, and let us thank God even if we have the basics. I've become a parent now, and I sometimes say things and I look around to see if my mother or father are standing in the room, because I swear that they have just said it. Was that my father just spoke? Especially after I say things like, you know, there are children over in Africa right now that are eating a bowl of rice. What do you mean you're not happy with that food right there? What if all you had to eat was rice every day? Again, that goes back to our abundance in this country. We need to be more reliant. I was talking to Sister McClish earlier this week, and we were talking about some of her and her husband's experiences in foreign lands. And how when you go on mission trips, I've not been blessed enough to go on one. But I look forward to the opportunity when I can go and see how other people live. And I have learned from some of the trips of other people. And I do realize how blessed we are. But I do still also sometimes have a problem with taking things for granted. And we need to realize that God gives us daily, and He gives us those things that we need. As God gives us our daily bread, we must thank Him. Christ thanked Him for the food that He had given Him, as we've noticed in previous lessons. Before He fed the multitudes, He thanked God for that bread. We're about to close this session, and we're going to say a prayer of thanksgiving for the food that we are about to eat. Let us always be thankful to God, and let us realize that we are reliant upon Him. Every creature of God is good, and let nothing be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 4, 3 through 4. Christ prayed and taught us that we need to pray as if everything depends upon God, but we are to work as if everything depends upon ourselves. God does not do for man what man can do for himself. So when we pray to God to give us our daily bread, let us realize that we must work in order to receive that bread. And let us pray after the manner in which Christ prayed. Father, give us this day our daily bread.